Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got 'em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clowning with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Scott Sidlow, and I'm a junkie with a trading problem.
I'm Dynasty Coach A, and I absolutely have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 308 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and of course we will. All three of us got the DAP in this time. I love that. So I am here tonight, again, filling in the lead chair. Russ is forsaken me once again, but I have my trusty sidekick, Scott Sidlow, with me. Scott, how you doing tonight?
Yep, always. I don't even know when I'm supposed to be on. So, like, you know, last week I chugged a Red Bull like 5 minutes before, and I was like, oh, you know what? I think Russ is back tonight, so this should be a fun night. What can I get done?
Yep, Russ is not on. He's just sending me bad trade offers. But we also have a great guest tonight. As he said, John, Dynasty Coach A. John, why don't you tell everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, obviously you can find me on Twitter. I don't tweet nearly enough, but you know, it is what it is. But I do talk quite a bit on the Debbie Devotional, the Full Tilt Debbie podcast as well. And then I write quite a few articles for Dynasty League Football, DLF.com.
Okay, so we will get right to the news brought to you by Frank, as usual. He divided this up into big news and the other stuff. So let me run through the other stuff real quick first. And if you guys want to comment on any of it, we can. He even broke it down by position. That's what we love, Frank. So wide receiver, Curtis Samuel to the Bills, Cedric Wilson to the Saints, KJ Osborne to the Patriots, Michael Gallup and Hunter Renfrow cut by their teams. QB, Joe Flacco to Indy, Kenny Pickett to the Eagles, Jimmy G to the Rams, Huntley to the Browns, Dobbs to the Niners. So a lot of backup stuff. And running back, A.J. Dillon re-signed by Green Bay, and Alexander Mattison recently just signed with the Raiders. And then he also mentions that the Falcons traded Desmond Ridder to the Cardinals in exchange for Rondale Moore. So I'm not going to go through all these things, but John, any of these smaller moves sort of stick out for you as something interesting for fantasy or dynasty or anything like that?
I mean, Flacco to Indy has to stick out a little bit. I mean, I think we should know that he's not the Hall of Fame caliber player that he was for those three games last year. But, you know, we also know that he can put together a string of quality games for you and that kind of thing. And Anthony Richardson has not proven himself to be a quality quarterback. He's not proven himself to be a healthy quarterback. So, you know, you add that all up, and I want his backup. Honestly, even before I knew that there was possibly injury concerns, I was all in, and I'm doing air quotes, all in on Gardner Minshew last year because he was an unproven player that had like a 49% completion rate in college. You know, it's like, what are the odds that Gardner Minshew doesn't touch the field at some point? And honestly, I don't feel that different today. I mean, he looked okay for like two games, but I think people are giving him a little too much credit. So yeah, if I can get Flacco on a cheap deal, I definitely am feeling that. And then definitely not to the same extent by any means, but like, I feel like Kenny Pickett is just completely shat upon at this point. And rightfully so. He's not a quality starting quarterback, but I do believe he can be a quality backup quarterback. And he's shown that he kind of has the legs at times, which we love for fantasy purposes. And Jalen Hurts has shown that he can miss a game or two, you know, each year. So I don't hate the fact of going out and getting Kenny Pickett while everyone's like, well, he's just complete garbage. You know, here, take him for a fifth or whatever. And he could start a couple of games. He's never going to take over Jalen Hurts. He's not doing any of that. I love Hurts to death. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, if he misses time, we've seen, 60-plus quarterbacks start games in the past couple of years each year. Like, what are the odds that he doesn't start at least a game or two? And so, you know, that's going to become very valuable for a guy that a lot of people are probably just dropping at this point because they're just like, why do I even have this player anymore?
Yeah, that came up in one of the Junkies League chats about Kenny Pickett, especially because I'm an Eagles fan, and of course I'm in those chats. And yeah, I'm not sure what to expect for fantasy. I would imagine it could be a little better than what we saw with the Steelers, with the surrounding cast we'll have. And I mentioned I get it from a real football. I agree with you. I think that he can be a solid backup. He was I saw when the trade happened, he was 14-10 with the Steelers. So if Jalen Hurts goes out for a month, can he go 2-2, 3-1? I think so. And I think that's what the Eagles were thinking. I agree with you. I don't think he's particularly good, but if he can just manage the interceptions, I think he's got enough, you know, with Barkley and AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, he's got enough there that he can win games for them and maybe produce a little bit for fantasy. Like you said, if he can use his legs a little too, I mean, maybe they can incorporate, you know, he's not going to be Jalen Hurts, but maybe, you know, they can incorporate some of that stuff that they're doing with a little bit of what they're doing with Hurts. But Scott, anything else on here that piques your interest?
Yeah, I mean, cuts and backup quarterbacks. I mean, that basically describes my TA5 roster here. I had 9 starting quarterbacks at one point last season. And let me just tell you, I'm down to 1 because I have Fields, Howell, Mac Jones, Kenny Pickett, Zach Wilson, Aiden O'Connell. I think Bailey Zappi and DTR started some games too. So, and yep. Now none of them may even be backups in some cases. So how quickly wow. The quarterback position can change.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, all those guys interest me. I mean, I don't want them all on one roster, but throughout my portfolio, I'd love to have a handful of each of those guys as, you know, future backups with experience, right? Come in, play a couple games. They always look their best when they just have to play a few games here or there, a few quarters here or there, right? That's all we're looking for out of these guys. Get some spot starts. You could almost use that as your third quarterback in some cases, right? It's not a bad strategy. Scott Connor's been talking about, and not as opposed to the any RB on a 53, it's, you know, any backup quarterback, basically, right? Any two set quarterback, meaning starter backup, that's clear cut scenario, to add those guys for free right now. Most of them you can pick up for nothing, not necessarily the guys on this list, but you know, quite a few that will get spot starts throughout the season. AJ Dillon of the Packers, I thought was great because we know exactly what he is and exactly the role that he'll have, which is great for Josh Jacobs and what they likely think of him and how they'll use him. So if you're a Jacobs fan, that's perfect because, you know, Dillon's not really going to take much away from him. So let's roll with Jacobs. Let's go.
Yeah. And the only one you guys didn't talk about that was a little interesting to me is Curtis Samuel to the Bills. Just Curtis Samuel, I think, is a real nice, real NFL player.
And Matt Harmon loves him.
Yeah. And he pops out for fantasy like once every few games. Even when he doesn't like have a bigger game, he tends to have a decent baseline of like, you know, PPR points. They've always seemed to like him in Washington. He'd always pop up with a touchdown here or a 7-catch game there. And now he's going with a much better quarterback than he's ever had. Who knows what's going on with Diggs? And there's not a lot else there. So Gabe Davis left. I'm sure they may draft somebody with this deep wide receiver class, but still, I think we're going to see random, you know, people are going to be like, what the hell why is Curtis Samuel scoring 25 points this week? So he might be a nice little guy to have at the end of your bench. If you need a wide receiver 3-4 type that can pop in bye weeks or something like that.
Yeah. I'm with you on the Samuel thing. The only thing, you know, I think that as soon as he went to the Bills, his price is probably too much, you know, more than I want to pay. And Herms is in the chat. He's absolutely correct. That's the nicest thing that I've ever said about Kenny Pickett. It's 100% true. We're in a group chat. We talk daily, and I've given Kenny Pickett some crap. But, you know, I think that's the perfect example of we don't have to necessarily love players to love their price, you know. And so, like, if you can get Kenny Pickett for absolutely free, then that's great. If you can get Curtis Samuel for free or cheap, that's great. The problem is, as soon as he went to the Bills, he's the wide receiver two on the Bills. And next thing you know, people are going to be like, no, you know, I want an early second for him. Okay, well, you know, get the hell out of here. You know, like, I'm not paying you an early second for him. So I think that's the issue. It's like one of those things where, like, if you had him, great, hold. And you know, you're going to be able to, you're going to have some startable weeks. You know, the thing is, like, Curtis Samuel to the Bills sounds great, but, you know, do they really truly mesh? Because we've seen Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen kind of butt heads. You know, Diggs is that route runner, you know, savant that is trying to get open and do whatever, and Josh Allen is, you know, throw the ball deep and you know, like, and hope somebody's open. That's not always that's not Curtis Samuel's game. He's more of a low A dot.
Yeah.
You know, like, around the line of scrimmage, you know, get you 7 yards after that kind of thing. Now, I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm not saying, you know, he's never going to have any good games, but I don't know if they truly mesh. Hopefully these teams, you know, have done more research and you know, maybe they're going to try and change stuff up. But yeah, I'm not overly excited, but like I said, he's an absolute hold if you have him, and he's a buy low if you can, but I just don't think you can.
Yeah, you may have a point there. People might, you know, want a little too much. I don't want to pay much for Curtis Samuel either. It's more like, yeah, if I have him, I'm pretty happy about the Bills landing spot, but I'm not going out to actively acquire him. The idea would be probably be trading him as a throw into a bigger trade maybe or something like that. That might be your best shot. But we'll get to what Frank labeled the big news. The first, there's three receivers switching teams. This past week, Calvin Ridley gets signed to a huge contract by the Titans. Keenan Allen traded to the Bears, and then Hollywood Brown goes to the Chiefs. Scott, what do we think? I'm going to start with the Hollywood one because, you know, everybody loves when the Chiefs get a wide receiver because Patrick Mahomes and you know, it's ever since Tyreek left, it's not been great there. So how much are you looking to sell Hollywood as quick as you can?
What
What do you think you can sell him for?
I mean, I'll probably take any second, pretty much. You know, in this class, I can re-roll it and just take another receiver who's probably better, or a future second, which gives me flexibility. So, yeah, in most cases, I'd probably trade him for a second. Yeah, I mean, hopefully he replaces MVS, I guess, and he can actually catch, so that would be a good start. You know, I think it allows, if he's healthy, he's still fast, right? So if what they want to do is open up the field, let him work outside, let Rice and Kelsey work over the middle, that's exactly what they should be trying to do. I just hope that it doesn't preclude them from taking one of these young receivers from this class. I'd like to see them still take a shot on somebody, you know, maybe in the second round, maybe somebody that falls into the third, you know, try to find somebody that can stay healthy, can be more consistent. But at least for now, you know, he's a classic best ball receiver, right? Like, yeah, let's grab him late and throw him on the roster. And there we go. And that's it. You just don't know when you're going to start him in a lineup league, right? So to me, I just rather have that roster flexibility. Not really a big fan of his. Granted, he's better than I thought he would be, but at the end of the day, he's had a rough couple of years. Now maybe he'll be with Mahomes, so he could certainly prove me wrong very quickly, and that's fine, but he can prove me wrong on somebody else's roster.
Yeah, and me and Russ have been bigger Hollywood fans than you have been. I think I remember you coined the Hallmark Brown term there.
Exactly.
And I am interested to see what he can do there. But I have heard, like, I have seen since the trade happened about it, like, they've even been saying about him filling the MVS role. And that's not super exciting, you know, just, you know, the occasional deep ball and all that stuff. He can do more than that, I think, but I think you may be right. I think they may be drafting wide receiver. He may be just more of a deep guy, which was kind of the label he got coming in, and then he showed he could do a little more, but it looks like they may be going back to that. So, John, what do you think? Calvin Ridley to the Titans. Does this interest you at all? Are you just out on Calvin Ridley now that he's on the Titans with Will Levis or whatever else they end up a quarterback?
Yeah, I was going to say, did they get one of these quarterbacks in free agency? You know, we had a wild free agency. Maybe I missed something because Will Levis is not it. And I'm sorry. You know, I get that these players are kind of in their prime and everything. But yeah, give me DeAndre Hopkins over Calvin Ridley any day. And then when you consider the fact that they have Will Levis throwing it to him, not a quality NFL quarterback. I don't want to say I want nothing to do with Calvin Ridley, because obviously there's always a price and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, whatever he was going for when people were still considering him to be a, he was going to stay at Jacksonville, or he was going to be the number one in New England or whatever it was. Yeah, I would much rather just sell him for that price and just not care. But at the same time, I don't think you're going to get that price because now he's on the Titans. He's the number two on the Titans. So unless somebody just thinks that DeAndre Hopkins is dead, then I would assume that you're not going to get whatever price you want. And and I'm definitely not buying him at that price.
Yeah, I'm with you. And like you said, I don't know that you can sell him with it. You know, it's bad offense. Hopkins is also there. I'm going to hop real fast to one of our listener questions, because it kind of ties into this, from KP Booker KP. And I'll ask both of you, is Treylon Burks droppable, is what he asked.
Well, I saw him traded about 2 hours ago. Not just him, but him and Sky Moore for the 306. So,
ouch.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You never want to drop. Yeah, I'm just going to say, you never want to drop somebody that's still only in their third year, I think. But he's about as close as you can be. I have like no hope for Treylon Burks at this point.
Hopefully he plays the big slot. If you can put Ridley Hopkins at the X, let Ridley go to the Z and just throw him as the big slot in that offense and hope he can do something. I don't know, but probably not.
Yeah, like you said, you know, somebody that young and that had that much promise coming into the NFL, you don't just want to drop him unless you absolutely have to. You know, like there's just players that hit later on in life, you know, like Devontae Adams didn't hit in year one or two, or, you know, and, you know, like we want all these players to hit in year one, and that's just not what happens. Maybe we're seeing more of it nowadays, but that doesn't guarantee that somebody's going to has to hit in year one just because of that. You know, even, you know, you have people saying, oh, Chris Olave is not as good because of this and that. And it's like, well, you know, look at what's happening. You know, like if we get better things, you know, so we don't always just want to go off of what's happening today. We want to think about what can happen in the future. What can happen in the future is that Treylon Burks gets traded or dropped, cut, you know, from the Titans, and all of a sudden he goes to the Chiefs or, you know, wherever it is. And next thing you know, okay, yeah, we really want Treylon Burks. So dropping him, cutting him, no, I would definitely not do that. Trading him for, you know, a different piece or another role, sure, I can get behind that. But unless you're in like some 18-man league, you know, like 18-roster league where, you know, you have no bench whatsoever, then I'm definitely not cutting or dropping. There's so many other players that I would cut before him.
And then, Scott, Bears questions I always like to direct to you. So what are your thoughts on Keenan Allen coming there with DJ Moore? Going to have a rookie, you know, a highly talented rookie, but a rookie throw into him. Are you worried about Keenan Allen this coming season?
I mean, Chicago's notorious for, you know, where receivers go to die. I mean, we've had so many great receivers over the years that we get them past their prime, and, you know, you can't put a competent coaching staff together and your quarterback underperforms. And then regardless of the receiver's health or talent, you know, it doesn't really matter at that point. But I, you know, if Poles has a plan, I mean, that's kind of what we say around here. And, you know, whether we agree with it or not, for the most part, he seems to be able to have the flexibility to do these things, whereas in the past it was always the GM had to get approval from ownership and, you know, all this stuff, right? And I just think they don't care right now, and they're in these big stadium disputes and stuff, so they're so busy with other things that they're kind of just letting him go with it. So it looks like he is trying to put the pieces around Caleb to be successful. I mean, Keenan Allen with DJ Moore, that's beautiful. I love it. You know, that's great. As a fan, I love Keenan Allen. I'll be rooting for him for sure. But I worry that, you know, we look at the past. He was a machine. He was a machine. Just absolutely every week going out, you knew he had that floor. You know, he's going to catch like 8 passes every week just in his sleep. I'm not sure that we're going to see that. Now, if we kind of take what Seattle's offense did the last couple of years, you know, and plug these players in where we think they fit, obviously no one's DK, but is he going to play more of the Lockett role? Is he going to be kind of a hybrid? Because, you know, he's really more the JSN, right? But, you know, they didn't utilize him fully last year. So they also didn't really use a tight end, whereas we have a tight end. So it'll be interesting to see how Waldron adapts his system to these players. And, you know, the potential's obviously there. We know what he can do, but I just think whereas in recent years, what I would say is I'd be willing to give up any second for Keenan Allen in the past. Like, sure, if I'm competing, here's a second. I'm going to plug this guy in. He's going to score me points. I don't think I would do that at this point. Would I be surprised if he, you know, is usable or worth that? No, not at all. But I just don't think it's likely.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Something you said kind of in the middle there is the biggest takeaway to me, is that they're really giving Caleb Williams everything they can to kind of get him going right from the start. You got three good to very good receiving weapons. They added Swift, who can be a receiver out of the backfield as well, and is pretty good in the running game. Had a 1,000-yard year last year, for the first time, and rushing. And so that's the biggest takeaway. I'm like you. Keenan Allen with the Bears scares me, especially with DJ Moore there with a rookie quarterback. I'm not sure what to expect, but whatever it is, I definitely don't think it's going to be what we got from Keenan Allen last year. So, but we'll move on to, we got some more backup quarterback news, but these are a little bit bigger names in the backup quarterback realm, and maybe the potential to start for both of them. Fields to the Steelers, Justin Fields, again, from the Bears, and Sam Howell to the Seahawks. And Frank even put in parentheses, he thinks this one is big news because he thinks there's an actual chance he beats out Geno. John, do you think there's a chance he beats out Geno?
I think there's a decent chance he beats out Geno. I mean, obviously Geno is completely unproven besides the 1 year. He had the 1 year. He had a much higher touchdown rate than, you know, than even what you would consider or expect from a backup seventh year player, whatever, ninth year player, whatever the hell he was. Yeah. And it just, everything seemed to click. You know, he obviously had good players around him. Then this year he came well back down to earth. Now, maybe things will be kind of in between those two. I don't expect it to be the high. I don't necessarily expect it to be the low. We obviously know he dealt with a little bit of injury and everything, but the hilarious thing is, you know, like I put a grade to every player's season. So, like, I look at everything, you know, like games missed, you know, touchdowns, interceptions, PPR points per touch, like all, every kind of metric you could look at. And I put a grade to every single player's season. Sam Howell and Geno Smith graded exactly the same. It's unbelievable. Like, it's actually like almost couldn't script it better, you know? So, like, they graded exactly the same last year and for different reasons, you know, but, you know, because obviously I'm looking at multiple metrics and everything and different things. So, you know, one player is better at this and worse at that, you know, that kind of thing. So, I'm not guaranteeing by any means that Sam Howell is going to go out and win the job, but I will say I feel like while I would assume that, you know, Geno Smith has the leg up on the starting position, I would also assume that he has a pretty short leash when it's all said and done.
And I'm kind of with you there. I've never been a big Sam Howell guy. When he came out, I called him a career backup. But he's just gone to a team who has starting a career backup. So it definitely could be interesting there. And if he can get in there, I mean, we saw last year, he did better than I thought he would with the starting role. He's just, from a real NFL perspective, I think he's more of a liability than he is even from fantasy. He can sling the ball around, but he takes too many sacks, and he can get a little turnover happy at times. But Scott, going back to the Bears, what are your thoughts on Fields at this point? Do you think he can overtake Russ? And Scott's nodding.
Okay. So this is where like the local versus national stuff. I don't necessarily know like what is. So if I'm just repeating stuff, then fine. I'll go quickly. But basically, what we heard out of Hallis Hall was, you know, Ryan Poles wanted to do right by Fields and put him in a good position, whatever. And basically, you know, he was offered, you know, a fourth round pick, essentially was the highest pick, but all the teams, there were up to potentially four teams, whether those were offers or just conversations, four or five teams. It seemed like they were all for backup opportunities with proven quarterbacks. And so basically it was like, you know, Philly said, hey, we'll give you a fourth. Right. And he said, well, yeah, but you got Hurts. Like, I'm never going to beat him out. I'm not going to start over him. So it'd be great, but it's not really the opportunity, right? So then he just calls the Steelers back and says, fine, we'll take your sixth, but it's got to turn into a fourth if he's 51%, right? So that's where Fields wanted to go, and that's where he went. So he got his opportunity. I don't think Mike Tomlin's not going to put up with Russell Wilson's crap. He's there for nothing. They could cut him at any time.
Yep.
Okay. If he sucks, he sucks. It's over. They have nothing invested in him. If Denver gave up on him after everything they did, I mean, imagine how foolish you look, right? Yeah. You think Steelers care? Nah, they're just trying to win games, man. And I'm telling you, imagine Russell Wilson going out there and loses a few games or just plays terribly. And then you throw Fields in there and the guy runs around. He's electric. You know, everybody's going to go crazy. And, you know, regardless whether he's a better player or a better passer, the opportunity is there for him. And it may be a 1 year opportunity and then he goes somewhere else. But I'm all about having Fields on my dynasty rosters. Like I never drafted him as a rookie. I wasn't a fan. And then especially when he went to the Bears, I knew he was screwed. So I had zero rookie shares. But I have acquired some shares over time in, you know, late in startups, cheap in auctions, in some trades. And I will gladly roll with him. I'll even try to trade for him in the right scenarios or get him thrown in the right scenarios, because I think not only could he play this year, but he could, you know, he could have a starting job, or he could, you know, parlay that into future seasons, right? Or be a bridge somewhere else, or get a chance somewhere else. And I just think he'll actually probably play this year. I would bet, if I had to bet on it. So I'll keep him. I'll roll with him. Let's go with, the rushing upside and the fantasy upside of Fields. Like, as a quarterback, obviously the league told us how they felt. You know, it is what it is. Arthur Smith, the Steelers, you know, we'll see. But that's what we got. So that's what we're going to do.
Okay. My internet went a little wonky there.
Yeah, I was going to say, we lost Rocky for a second.
Hey, he's back. Real quick. Luckily, Scott just kept talking, and if I hadn't said anything, nobody would even know. But
yeah. All right. Real quick, though, honestly, when it first happened, you know, I'm sitting there thinking about it, and I'm like, honestly, I think that Russ is a better player than people were giving him credit for. You know, like, he wasn't in the best position in Denver. You know, obviously, like, he had a head coach coming in who wanted to create his system and do his things. And you have a borderline Hall of Fame, probably losing the Hall of Fame credibility quarterback at this point, but borderline Hall of Fame quarterback that, you know, wants to do things his way. And those things don't normally mesh. So, but I feel like Russ is probably better than people want to give him credit for, but Fields is also better than people want to give him credit for. And so it's a really tough position. But when I really sat there and thought about it, I'm like, all right, so it could actually work out really well, because people are saying, you know, Fields has this problem, whatever. He can go learn behind a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback for a year, and then he can be the future quarterback for the Steelers. And I'm like, all right, this is making a lot of sense now. They pay $1.2 million for Russ. They have Fields as a long-term viability quarterback, blah, blah, blah. But then I start thinking about it. I'm like, but then they have to pay him. So, you know, like what? Now you have to get him on the field. So I don't, now I'm confusing myself because like something has to give. Either they're really just like saying, hey, we got two really cheap quarterbacks for 1 year and we're just going to see what happens. Maybe we can make the playoffs and as we almost always do and then go beyond what we normally do because we have these two quarterbacks, or maybe we're doing this for the future purposes, but they either have to take the fifth year option on Fields, which is like $25 million, which is not the end of the world, especially with the cap the way it is now and everything, would not be a terrible thing. I mean, this is not when the Panthers took Sam Darnold's, you know, fifth year option. Like this is a very different thing here, but I just, yeah, I'm very confused about it all. I think ideally they would have Russ for this year and then they would sign Fields to a decent 3 year option or something like that, you know, a 3 year contract for the future. But you know, once again, you would almost want to say like, hey, you know, we need to see him play or that kind of thing to do that kind of contract. But maybe what they've seen, you know, between, you know, when he was a prospect, what he's done at the Bears and then what he's going to do in practice, maybe that'll be enough to where they can give him a decent 3 year contract that's like the 2 years actually guaranteed, that kind of thing. And then next thing you know, he's either good or he's not. And everyone finally has their actual answer.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm very interested in Fields. I do think he could be a long-term answer there. I was more in on Fields than Scott was coming out. I was very high on Fields. Like Scott said, the Bears was not a great landing spot just because they've never really produced great quarterbacking there, like ever in their history, I think.
Kyle Orton.
Yeah. Rex Grossman, Super Bowl.
That was the defense.
Yeah, I know. I'm very interested to see how it plays out. I definitely think Fields could start this year. And I guess before we just go move off of this, are you guys interested in inquire? Like, what pick would you give for Justin Fields at this point?
Well, if you're just like going off of what Twitter is saying, you know, you would think you could get him for like the 604 in a five round draft. But you know, like it's crazy. Just because people say that like Justin Fields is the worst thing that's ever happened, like the worst NFL quarterback that's ever happened right now. And you know, it's all hyperbole, but like that's how people felt about Baker. That's how people felt about Geno. That's how people felt. I mean, like, you can name so many different players here. And, you know, unfortunately, that's just how the NFL is. You know, they move on from the wrong guys. They keep the right guys, Will Levis. And, you know, it's just like we just have to understand that we just have to have patience. And I know that's not normally a word that is spoken on the Trade Addicts pod, but you know, I think I actually may have been the last one to say it the last time I was on here is you just have to have patience, you know, like, and I had Baker Mayfield and I was not going to sell him for the fifth round pick that people might've given me or whatever. And I definitely wasn't going to cut him. And now he's a starting quarterback with a, you know, two-ish year contract, you know, like nothing truly guaranteed, but you know, better than nothing, better than a lot of other quarterbacks can say. And that's what we're going to hope for Justin Fields and all that kind of stuff. So I try, because of just the general feeling on how people feel about Russ and how people feel about Justin Fields, I sent a god awful trade in, you know, Russ's honor to somebody. I sent Matthew Stafford for Russ and Justin Fields, just to see if it would get done. And it was immediately declined, you know, like no response, no nothing. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. You know, like that's fine. But just in case, I had to do it, you know, like, because like, what if that guy was just like, I hate Russ. Justin Fields is the worst quarterback that's ever happened. And, you know, like, I don't want either one of these players. Give me Matthew Stafford. And it was also an orphan I took over. So I've been trying to get rid of Matthew Stafford for a while. So yeah, I was like, yeah, give me that. It didn't work out. But to answer your question in a very long-winded way, I'm perfectly fine giving like a late second round pick for it. And I honestly think that'll get it done at this point. I've actually seen somebody sent me a screenshot, and I actually saw a fourth round pick get Justin Fields earlier today. So, I mean, like, I'm not saying that's the norm, but you know, like, it's possible.
That's what I was thinking, is basically anywhere in the second half of the second, I think I'd be willing to do. And that could pay off huge. Like even this, like you said, even this year, I mean, it could be by like the second half of the season, he could be starting for all we know. But Scott, is that kind of the range you're into?
Yeah, I think it's going to be roster dependent, but yeah, I think late second, anything after that, pretty much any roster, I'll do it.
Yes.
You know, a third on any roster, I'll do it. Exactly. Yeah, late second, though, there are definitely some teams where I could see myself doing that for sure.
Okay, but we'll move on from the news now. And John, we always like to give the guest, the option, listener questions or trades. We don't have a lot of big trades this week, but we have some smaller ones we threw on there. But which do you want to go through first?
Let's just run through the trades and then we'll get to the questions.
Yeah, as I said, there's a lot of smaller deals, some of which in a normal week I might not even have thrown on here. But we were pretty low on trades, and I thought it was interesting. A lot of these smaller deals do at least have to do with some of the free agency stuff that happened. Almost all the smaller deals involve either a player that moved to a new team or was affected by different moves. So we'll get right into those. I'm going to finish with the one more bigger trade I'm going to end with. So we'll start with, just a reminder, 12-team PPR Superflex 1.75 tight end premium for all Trade Addicts leagues. And 0.05 per return yard, except TA1, and that last trade will be TA1. So, but we're going to start with TA2. Two different guys that moved, Zach Moss and the 311 for Jerry Jeudy, who just signed a contract extension today, surprisingly. So, John, what do you think of that one?
I mean, it's got to be Jeudy. You know, he has a multi-year, you know, high-end contract. Yes, I understand there's a lot of concerns, you know, between his health and, you know, and also the quarterback's health, the quarterback's abilities, the quarterback's morals. Like, there's a lot going on in Cleveland. He's definitely the number two for now, but Amari Cooper's probably not long for this world. I mean, maybe he'll prove me wrong and you know, he'll play for another 5 years, but you know, I would think a couple more years for Amari Cooper. Jerry Jeudy just signed a 3-year contract. It's probably more of a 2-year contract when it's all said and done, as far as like guaranteed money and everything. That's just the way I look at things. But Zach Moss is Zach Moss. You know, he's like he's. I get that he has the chance to be a starting running back right now. That's not a guaranteed chance. We still have the NFL draft going forward. I know that everyone hates this running back class, but there's actually still some quality running backs. There's nothing stopping somebody or a team from drafting a quality running back to go over to Cincinnati. And if you think that somebody will stop, just remember what the Seahawks did last year when they drafted Zach Charbonnet behind Kenneth Walker III. So, you know, it can definitely happen. And the 311 is not stopping me from anything. So I've gotten out of the Jerry Jeudy business because I truly feel like he's kind of injury prone at this point. But at the same time, that upside, obviously the NFL is telling us that they still see the upside, and that the NFL is not always right. So I'm not saying that, but
it's Cleveland,
you know, if and when Amari Cooper kind of, you know, takes a step back or, you know, retires, whatever, next thing you know, Jerry Jeudy's the number one wide receiver on that team, and maybe there's just a better fit there and everything else. So I'm willing to take that risk over a running back. I mean, we're in March. You know, drafting or trading for running backs in March is never a great idea unless you're getting them for absolutely free.
Yeah, I've never been a big Jeudy guy, and I'm not super excited about him in Cleveland. But I'm not super excited about Zach Moss either, so I can see either side of this. I mean, if they don't draft a guy by day two, this becomes a little more interesting to me. But I think there's definitely a chance they could. Even as is, I mean, Chase Brown is there. A lot of people like Chase Brown, even though he was a day three pick. So I have a feeling that running back room could end up being a big mess, that there'll be a third guy brought in through the draft or maybe later, like, you know, some other lower end guy will be brought in, and just all three of them will be running all of, like, you know, 40-20 or something like that, and it'll be just a big mess. So I have no problem trying to take the shot on Judy still. I don't have a lot of hope there, but it's not like you're giving up much with Zach Moss.
Yeah, if the third round pick was a little earlier, then I'd probably change my mind. But at 311, you know, like, I don't, get me wrong, I love getting every third round pick I can get and all that kind of stuff. But when we're actually sitting here and sitting down, 311 is probably not going to be the pick that puts you over the top or anything like that. So, like, if we could do a 305 or something like that, you know, 302, you know, maybe I can, you know, lean a little more towards the package. But at 311, I just can't really do it.
Yeah, I mean, 6 months ago, I would have just taken this because I don't like Judy. I never, never did. But yeah, I mean, at this point,
Zach Moss had a few good games there with Jonathan Taylor out
there. Yeah, true. Well, even before that, even like last year at this time, I probably would have taken it. Yeah. I just can't even stand Judy. but yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I think they're trying to get ahead of it a little bit, like you were saying, John, with like saying, yeah, Cooper's on his last year and Elijah Moore is not really working out. And, you know, we probably still need to add somebody. And apparently Cedric Tillman, who I liked, did not have a very efficient year. But I don't know how you can really judge that on that team last year. But I don't know. I guess Flacco made Njoku a star, so who knows? But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess you got to take Judy here. I think I have one Judy share left. So with this news, hopefully I can try to dump him. But maybe for hopefully a little bit more than that.
I have one Judy share myself that I don't even know how I ended up with, and that's what I'm hoping that I can get out on it now.
You probably, Russ probably snuck him into a trade with you.
Probably.
You just didn't even notice. Yeah. But yeah, we got a couple more small ones here we can jump into. I'll start off with the Darnell Mooney for 310. You know, love me some Mooney, but I'll probably just take the 310, re-roll it. I don't know that he's, you know, he's going to have a role in Atlanta for sure. You know, like, obviously that offense with Kirk Cousins, but I mean, at best, he's what, the fifth option. I think it's a great football signing, although I think that was way too much money. But he has shown what he can do in the past. He hasn't been healthy the last couple of years, so that's been part of the issue. And I'm guessing what the Atlanta's banking on there. But Mooney, I was fortunate enough a couple years ago to trade him for a first that turned into the 101. So I'll never forget that. And I did trade all my Mooney shares that year. Just that's a benefit of being local here. Kind of knew that, you know, it was pretty unlikely that he would continue doing what he was doing a couple years ago. So got out of all those shares. 310 at this point, I guess that's fine. I'll re-roll it. And on the same thing on the other side, like, you're giving up 310. So if you want Mooney, cool. Like, you know, go for it. John, what are you at on Mooney or 310?
I mean, once again, with the late third, you know, yes, Mooney is never going to be a wide receiver one in the NFL or anything like that. But I mean, he does have what, 1,100 yard season under his belt. And you know, like, we saw what Kirk Cousins did with Jordan Addison in a, you know, small period of time, because obviously he tore his Achilles and they didn't get to play a full season together or anything like that. But we saw some of the big plays that Jordan Addison was able to do. And I'm not comping Darnell Mooney to Jordan Addison. I'm just comping the roles. And I'm saying that, you know, better for best ball or whatever you want to call it. Sometimes the better for best ball players, you know, like, we like to think of everything when we're talking as dynasty managers and as experts, we like to think of everything as like perfect. You know, like, I'm never going to have Darnell Mooney in my lineup. And yet by week seven, we have Darnell Mooney in our lineup, you know, and he gets you 27 points because he scored two touchdowns and this and that and whatever. And it, you know, like, yes, it's sometimes it's just luck, you know, like, and when it works out, but you have to have the right player to give you that luck. You know, like, if you have, who's a good pick? I can't even think of a cheaper player, but if you have these like players there have no upside, no, you know, no high end ability whatsoever. Like, they're never going to have that opportunity to give you the 20 points or whatever. Darnell Mooney has that opportunity. You know, it's like people love Rashid Shaheed, you know, and for the Saints, because it's kind of the same thing. He's never going to be a wide receiver one. He's never even going to be a wide receiver two, but you put him in your lineup every once in a while and he will get you 20, 30 points. And you're like, oh my God, he's the best player that ever happened. And I think that Mooney could be like rich man's Rashid Shaheed, because I believe he's actually a better player than that. Yep. And so when you're trading the 310 for him, give me that, especially with a quality quarterback in Kirk Cousins. You know, like, we have so many question marks about so many different players and things and everything. I don't think we have to question about Kirk Cousins throwing to Darnell Mooney.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny you bring up Addison. So I pulled them up on Profiler here, and they're basically the same size and weight. Mooney's obviously older. But he had a higher dominator rating, similar breakout age, and believe it or not, Mooney has a better burst score and speed score. You know, so essentially from an athletic profile, faster. That's crazy to think about, if he's in that role. So I think, you convinced me, like, for the 310, it might be worth taking the shot that even if he has a couple big games, and then maybe you can flip him for more or package him, for another piece that you need. So, that's interesting. I think it, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out, but Mooney definitely has the talent and the potential. So I guess if you're taking a shot at the 310, you might as well do it on a guy that's actually done it before.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of times you'd really think a guy going with a proven QB that's considered the wide receiver two on his team, you'd really be thinking like late second round, early third round of the first, you know, at the least. And yet he's 310 here. And then Herm says it's all fun and games until you need somebody, until someone actually needs Latavius Murray. And, but the thing is like, people were starting Latavius Murray. Like, that's the thing. Like, we think best case scenario, but like, at least, you know, if you're starting like six or whatever in your fantasy league, you know, of course, like, yeah, that's, you're probably not going to have too many issues, but like, I start 12 in most of my dynasty leagues, you know, like, you're starting literal bums sometimes, you know, like guys that were just like picked up off the street, and you know, that it's like, yeah. Give me all the Darnell Moonies over some of the guys that I was starting last year in like week 9 with injuries and bye weeks, you know?
That's true. That is true. The next one's a quick one for me. Quentin Johnson in the 25-4th for the 206. I will get Kevin White 2.0 off my roster for that 206 and re-roll it. So yeah, give me the 206 there. Rocky, where are you at on QJ or the 206?
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I'm impressed that somebody could get the 206 for Quentin
Johnson. I've tried.
It was funny too. I think it was completely separate from this trade, because it was somebody in one of the different leagues, but he posted in the TH chat the MFL projections for Quentin Johnson are kind of hilarious. I wonder if maybe that influenced somebody. It's like, it has him with like 170 targets, 122 catches, and like 1,200 yards or 1,400 yards. It's like ridiculous.
Well, yeah, there's no one else on the team right now.
Yeah, I guess that's why. It must just be some algorithm or something that just sees that he's like the only guy on the team.
Oh, and my just God. Gives him just, all the... You know what? Yeah. Stone Smart is going to outscore him this year. Okay.
Well, damn.
Come on. Let's go.
But yeah, I would take 206 pretty easy and get one of these running backs or, you know, that are going to fall into the second round, or maybe, you know, some sleeper, your wide receiver 10 or something like
we're
that.
We're going to like the second round. We're going to like the second round this year. Yeah, no doubt.
A year before Quentin Johnson even got drafted, I said that he was the most overrated player in Devy. And here we are. So like, I don't victory lap too much. That's actually a lie, but I'm going to go ahead and do it here.
We take those victory laps when we can.
Yeah, I'm going to do it here because I mean, you have to understand the Devy community is just different. You know, like, there people just say, no, this is how it is. Quentin Johnson's the wide receiver one and this and that. And, you know, you're a year and a half away from him being drafted. And you're just like, well, I can't truly prove anything, but all I can do is like give my arguments. And I gave my arguments for a year and a half about how he was overrated. And, you know, then he got drafted extremely early and everyone's like, nope, see, he got drafted early and he got a great landing spot. And I was like, okay, you know what? You got me. Like he got drafted early. He got a great landing spot. I really cannot argue with you. Like of all the things that could have happened to Quentin Johnston, this is like best case scenario. And then he failed. So, you know, like,
Can you imagine, like, a year ago, you found out Quentin Johnson's traded the Chargers. Within a year, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are gone, and you're happy to get the 206 for him. Like, nobody was expecting that a year ago.
True. Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, it's probably a little different because the only Quentin Johnson I have is he was there at 112 in one of my leagues. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm sorry, screw it. And I'm like, you know, like, I'll take him. And I took him and I regretted every, Rocky's marking me down. I'm sorry. I got it. I'm sorry. But yeah, like I drafted him in one spot. You know, it's like everyone wants to have, I'm not necessarily a portfolio guy, but everyone has like wants to have that one share that you can say, okay, what if he does work out, that kind of thing. And I took him at 112 because he was going to like 107, 108, whatever. And you know, next thing you know, I'm trading him for 206. I'm fine with that. I'm dropping back six spots. You know, like it's really not that big of a deal. Seven spots, like, but you know, like a lot of people were taking him like 106, 107. That's a little bit bigger of a deal. So, yeah, I'm perfectly fine with this trade.
Yeah, unfortunately, I kind of bought into Quentin Johnson last year. I should have talked to you about him. But I definitely took him at multiple 108s. I was foolishly drafting him over Zay Flowers.
I split shares with him and Zay, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I wish I had not done that. So I wish I had a lot more. I definitely have way more. Not that I have a ton of either, but I definitely have significantly more Quentin Johnson than Zay Flowers. So. But we'll move on to our last of these smaller trades. And again, another one sort of impacted by free agency with Josh Jacobs leaving the Raiders. And as we mentioned, Madison coming there now. Zamir White, I believe this was done before the Madison thing, although I don't know that that affects it too much. I don't think Madison is all that good myself. But I guess it's up in the air whether Zamir White is or not too, though. But Zamir White for the 202. So, John, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Zamir White this year? Are you giving up the 202 for him?
I was never in on Zamir White. He was never my guy. I wouldn't have paid the 202 when he was drafted, and I'm not paying the 202 now. Like, I don't believe it. I know people are like, oh, Alexander Mattison signing means nothing. And, you know, maybe that's true because neither one of them are great. But that also doesn't stop the Raiders from drafting somebody else either. You know, and once again, it's not that high end talent running back class, but it's a depth, you know, like it's a deep running back class. And so, you know, like there's players that can go to all of these teams, even though we might not say that they're all three down workhorse running backs or anything like that. But at the 202, we're not even worried about some of these like backup running backs and, you know, third down running backs or whatever. Like 202 in your rookie drafts might be the running back one. Like it very well could be. And like it shouldn't be, but it very well could be. And so you might be getting, you know, a Jonathan Brooks, you might be getting a Trey Benson, you know, even like, you know, Marshawn Lloyd, Braylon Allen, like so on and so forth. Whoever you like at that point, you're getting. And Zamir White was a backup running back always. Like, he was always a backup running back. He was a backup running back in college. He was a backup running back when he was drafted. He was drafted to be a backup running back. And, yeah, he might get that shot a la, like, a Zach Moss or somebody like that. But, once again, we were talking about a Zach Moss for Jerry Jeudy earlier. You know, like, this is not the kind of player that you're getting at 202. And then everyone loves the wide receivers in this class. So even if you don't want to go the running back route, now you're still talking about a pretty high end wide receiver that you're getting at the 202. So like I cannot really make an argument in my mind about why you would take Zamir White here at the 202 when you still have all of those options?
Just playing devil's advocate, because I mostly agree with you, I will say he did produce when Jacobs was out last year. Not to an amazing degree, not like, you know, Kyren Williams level or even, you know, something like that. But
one produced at Kyren Williams level, Rocky.
Yeah, true.
outside of CMC.
But you know, I'm just saying he got volume and he produced. He had 8 catches in the 3 games span at the end of the fantasy season. Got 17, 22, 20 carries and had about 300 yards. So I'm only just saying that to play devil's advocate, because I agree with you. I'm not giving up the 202 for him. I kind of agree with what you said. And the biggest thing to me is just sort of like what we're saying about the Zach Moss thing. I could totally see them bringing somebody else in, even if it's not like there's probably not going to be a ton of guys that go. I'm not even sure how many are going to go day 2. So it could be a day 3 guy, but even then, I don't know that Zamir was Zamir a day 3 guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think he may have been a fourth rounder. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So I mean, it's not like a day 3 guy couldn't come in and take work from Zamir White. So even if that's the case, I don't see it happening. And this is not going to be a good offense with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, and I just don't see it happening. So.
Scott, yeah, he was 417, 17th pick of the fourth.
Yeah, okay.
Any thoughts on Zamir before?
I mean, he didn't play till like December, right?
Is that? Yeah, Jacobs got hurt. He played a lot the last 3 games.
Let me just take you back to November.
The last 3 fantasy games.
Yeah, November 28th, and since you guys are Eastern time, 6:19 p.m. Eastern time. one Scott Sidlow gave up Royce Freeman, to my boy. Vito's Casino, shout out at Vito's Casino on Twitter. Royce Freeman for Zamir White, just straight up, baby. Just needed that player. I think Kyren got hurt, right? And Freeman was in there. And
I was gonna say a little bit. How the hell did that happen? And, but now it makes a little more sense.
I'm shedding points. I'm trying to get the 101, and I just throw out some offers. And hey, here's a backup running back who isn't scoring any points. Zamir White, baby, let's go. So now if I can flip him for the 202, like, hell yeah, I'll probably do it there just to take the profit, honestly. But yeah, I mean, it's always good to cash out on running backs. We never know what's going to happen, but Madison is zero threat. I always like Madison, but that should pretty much tell you right there. He's not good. Just don't, you know, it's kind of like, AJ Dillon with Jacobs, right? Like, Madison means absolutely nothing to me. So Zamir White's probably going to have at minimum the early down roll. But then again, who's running that offense? Yeah, don't say his name, please. So I'll probably take the 202.
Yeah, I might take a shot with like a late second. But really, if you believe in Zamir, I'd more rather just throw him into a bigger, kind of what we said earlier, throw him into a bigger package than even giving up picks for him. I'd rather hold those. And just see if you can get him as, like, you know, somebody else doesn't care about Zamir White, and maybe you take the shot that way if you're interested. But the one more legitimate trade we had was in TA1, which I believe was Russ, and I hope I remember correctly which side Russ was on. But 103 and a 26-second for Michael Pittman and the 107. So this one's a little more interesting than these last ones we've been talking about. So, John, I'll let you start again on this one. Which side do you want there?
Any of the top 5 in this draft class, I'm going to just hold to a higher standard. And so, you know, you're telling me that you have the 103, you have the ability to even trade back and accrue more value and whatever, because I really do have, like, a lot of people have, like, a tier of 2 in this rookie draft class. I really have a tier of 5, and I'm just like,
Put some names to it.
Sure. I mean, it's the normal 5, you know, so the Marvin Harrison Jr., Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Malik Nabers. And I'm perfectly fine with any of those players. Like, they're literally all top tier players as far as I'm concerned. They all have pros, they all have cons, but yet they're all in that top tier. And so I'm fine taking any of those five players, especially, you know, once we get landing spots and all that kind of stuff, it's going to be even more clear. But when you're telling me you have the 103 and you know, like, all I'm thinking about as a trade addict is like, I have the ability to trade back. You know, like I have the ability to trade even more and that kind of thing. I'm also getting a 26 second, which is almost negligible, but you know, whatever, it's better than nothing. Michael Pittman is a quality player. He is not a Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. So right there, I'm almost guaranteed at least one of them at the 103, you know? And so
yeah,
I would think one of them in right. most leagues I'm guaranteed. And so I would much rather have Malik Nabers over Michael Pittman. And then the 107 is great, but you know, like, I'm really thinking like Brock Bowers, like that's where I would have him. Brock Bowers might go on the 106, you know, maybe you're talking about a different player there, but having the Malik Nabers there really, or, you know, that's kind of what I'm picturing there. Like at the 103, I'm in my mind, I'm picturing trading back to like 104, 105 and still getting Malik Nabers, but you know, that doesn't always work out or whatever. But even if you're just saying like at 103, you take Malik Nabers, it doesn't matter. I'd still rather have that than Michael Pittman and 107. You know, give me that 26 second and I'll be okay with it. But I believe that Malik Nabers can be special. And I don't think Michael Pittman can be special as good as he is.
Scott?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to put Bowers up there in this just because the tight end premium as well. And then, you know, seven comes down to whether you have a Dunze or that fourth quarterback. So, I mean, seven's still a pretty valuable pick here. I think for me, I do want the 103. But I got to say, if I have Pittman in the 107, I don't know that I'm accepting the trade. Just unless specifically like, okay, let's go to the TA5 roster that I brought up earlier where I basically have no quarterbacks. You know, now I might have to consider yeah. that, right? Because I need to get a quarterback. So in that case, I could definitely see the trade. So I do like the trade. I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, depending on which direction you want to go. There's probably more risk to the 103 side, but there's probably also more reward. So I think it just kind of depends on like Pittman plus whatever you're getting at seven is putting points in your lineup right now. And adding another piece, whereas the 103 is just, it's just going to be whoever that is. And it could be somebody that's going to put a lot of points in your lineup too, but you know, freeing yeah. up that roster spot, that could be valuable, or losing a starter that would not be valuable. Right. So I guess it just depends on how you're going to look at that.
Yeah. I kind of feel like it's a pretty fair trade, and I tend to be more conservative with rookies. I think maybe because John's on that Debbie side, he kind of has more conviction with some of these guys than I do. I always get a little worried. I mean, there's guys that, you know, were the wide receiver one in their class, and Nabers would be the wide receiver one in a lot of classes from everything I hear.
Yeah, but, and I focused on the wide receivers just because there's a wide receiver in the trade, but it's yeah. not like you have to take a wide receiver.
Yeah, it could be Jaden Daniels there.
That's yeah. the other thing. It could be Jaden Daniels. It could be Drake May. It could be whoever. So I focused on the wide receiver, but maybe that was my fault. You know, like, and you don't have to do that. That's the great thing about the 103.
Yeah, and I'm just exactly. – my where I was going with that, though, is just that, like, I always worry that guy could bust. And I really like getting Michael Pittman and – probably a Dunze or Bowers, depending on how the rest of the draft goes up to that point. Especially almost if it's Bowers in the 1.75 premium. I think it's a really fair trade, actually. And I get why John would take the 103 side, and I think a lot of people would take the 103 side. I kind of lean what you were saying, Scott, about the, you know, getting the points now. And it's even possible that the guy at the 107 could get you, you know, be a solid player this yeah, year, depending on harder, yeah. on the landing spot for either of those two guys that we're talking about. And who knows, maybe it is a fourth quarterback or something that people are interested in. Again, I think it's a fair trade. I would personally lean the Pittman 107 side, which is actually the side that Russ got, by the way. So John dissed Russ's side. But
that's what I'd do.
Exactly. But yeah, I think it's a really fair trade though. I think that's you know, you got to give up a lot, I think, to get up in that top, you know, that real top tier
of course.
Rookies this year.
And I will admit, I kind of forgot about the tight end premium, you know, so that does make a difference because, you know, I was saying, you know, 107 might be Bowers, but there's probably no chance of 107 being Bowers and a 1.75 tight end premium. So, you know, like if anything, it's a better chance of him being the 103.
I don't know that he goes higher than 106 in a lot of leagues because I think those three quarterbacks and Neighbors and Harrison are going to be so hyped that it's going to be hard for him to get above 106.
I think landing spot will...
Yeah, unless he's just an amazing landing spot and some other guy.
Yeah, he goes to the Chargers and everyone's going to lose their mind. You know?
Yeah, exactly. maybe then. But we'll move on to the listener questions. We did one of them earlier. We got a few more here. So the first one is from it's the Kyze, K-Y-Z-E. If you could pick a dream landing spot for rookie this year, who is it and where are they landing? I kind of answered this question last week in a similar question. But neither of you two were on, so I'll let you two handle this. The guy I said was actually a running back. I said Jonathan Brooks in Dallas. I love that. Yeah. So, but I'll let you two go. Whoever wants to go first here.
Well, John, just I love that. What I was gonna say was Bowers to the Chargers, but actually, I've got another one for you. But John, go ahead with yours.
Oh, no, I was just going to argue about, like, Jonathan Brooks is amazing, but I also don't know that he's, like, the best fit for the Cowboys because they need somebody, like, right now. Like, they literally have no one on their roster, and Jonathan Brooks has the ACL tear and all that kind of stuff. So, like, that's just, like, where my brain went with that. But as far as, you know, the best landing spot, honestly, my whole thing is just like which one, MHJ or Malik Neighbors, goes to Arizona, because I feel like it's just going to be a match made in heaven between Kyler and one of those players. You know, like there's obviously question marks of if MHJ goes to at three to the Patriots or if somebody trades or you know, whatever. But I feel like one of those players is going, especially with Marquise Brown now gone. Like, they literally have no one. So they've kind of shown their cards. Like, they're drafting a high-end wide receiver. And so I think it's going to be MHJ or Malik Neighbors going to the Cards. And, you know, we've seen that when Kyler is on, when Kyler's healthy, like, he can do pretty amazing things, you know, especially for fantasy purposes. It's really nice. And when you add in a very high end wide receiver, I love every second of that.
Okay, Scott, who's yours?
Okay, we said this is a dream and this is a rookie in an NFL team, right? So it's my dream. So screw you guys. This would be, like, I don't know, some famous like Adam Schefter gets billions of dollars and he buys the Chicago Bears and then he gets Harbaugh to come be the coach and then they draft JJ McCarthy after trading back. So that's my dream.
Oh, wow. I mean, I kind of love it because I've said from the beginning, like, it's so dumb for these teams that have the 101 not to trade back. Like, look, think about where the Bears would be if they hadn't traded back last time.
Right.
And that, you know, all that they got. And they still kind of screwed it up. Not even kind of. They still screwed it up. But then they got the first round pick again. And it's like, well, okay. You know, remember how we were like god awful, like the worst in the NFL? And now we're kind of like league medium, like league average, whatever. Maybe we should do that again. You know? And so I completely agree with you. Like, they should. I'm 100% like they're pot committed at this point, unfortunately. Yeah. So like I don't think they will. But if any team had the balls to trade back and then get like JJ McCarthy or something like that, I would absolutely love it. Unfortunately, I'm hearing a lot of rumors even today that JJ McCarthy is going in the top five at this point. And we're still, you know, like a month or so away from the NFL draft. Like, anything can happen. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but I'm hearing like
Minnesota, Denver, Las Vegas.
All three, I mean, there's too many QB needy teams that like somebody isn't going to jump all over that, because this isn't the, oh, it's the 6 year player that this or that. No, it's a third year player that's extremely young, that has like great arm strength and has like proven it at least at a decent level. You know, like obviously he's still raw-ish and like has, you know, more to work on.
Yeah, he could
separate. I'm not saying he's the perfect prospect or anything like that. But Patrick Mahomes wasn't the perfect prospect when he got drafted at 10 either. So like I don't think he's gonna make it too far. So trading back can only work so much, but I wish that the Bears would, because you can get so much in return.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, our next question comes from at FF Tommy B, and he gave separate questions to the three of us. I'll do mine first, and I'll let you two talk. He says, for Rocky, because mine's pretty simple to answer, what does a rebuild look like for you? And I think a rebuild looks like for me what it looks like for most people. Contrary to popular belief, I actually will trade for quarterbacks in a rebuild. Because I do agree that they hold value longer, and that's what you're looking for in a rebuild. So like most people, I'm looking for in Superflex, I'm looking for quarterbacks, I'm looking for wide receivers. One thing I did want to add is I think people try too hard not to get running backs. And I don't trade for running backs, but in multiple rebuilds, I've drafted running backs and then flipped. I can think of guys I've gotten in the past where I'll draft a guy where I just go for the best player available in a rookie draft. And I'll draft a running back. This is going a ways back now, but I remember in one of my first rebuilds, when I really started getting heavy, you know, in like 20, 30 leagues, I drafted Miles Sanders in that 2018 draft, and I ended up selling him for a profit, you know, after his first year. I think he caught like 50 balls or something like that, and it worked out real well. So I would just say that you don't necessarily have to just get totally rid of running, like don't shy totally away from running backs. But like Scott often mentions, in general, especially in trade or whatever, I'm mostly shooting for those backup guys you can flip in a rebuild too, so you maybe can make a profit on them. But like I said, not all that different from what anybody else is going to tell you what a rebuild looks like. I wonder if Tommy just asked this because he knows everybody thinks I hate quarterbacks. So, but I definitely will draft guys there, and then I'll probably trade down from them once I get good again and try and get more players in. I'll tear down from a top level guy that I drafted or something like that. But for Dynasty Coach A here, he asks, how has your process changed, evolved, stayed the same over the years?
I mean, I'm taking this as like an overall like fantasy player, you know, like, so I've been playing fantasy. I've been playing fantasy for, you know, 20 plus years, and you know, my whole thing has always been like, I dominate drafts. Like, that's just what I do. Like, I'm better at drafting than you are, unfortunately. You know, like, unfortunately for you. And like, that's always been my thing. Unfortunately, with Dynasty, you have one startup draft. And so, like, it only matters so much. And then when I started doing that compared to redraft, I had to change, you know. And so I had to evolve. And so I did a really good job in my startup drafts, but then what happens after that? You know, like your teams can only stay good for so long. And I was listening to other people, and I'm doing my best, but I had no idea. I don't watch college football. I had no idea who these prospects were coming in from college and everything else. So I'm listening to other people, and they're getting this stuff wrong. I'm drafting JJ Arcega-Whiteside because I won the league last year, and I'm drafting him at 112. And okay, you know, that's great. I won the league, but now my team's screwed for years to come. And so eventually, you know, I created my own thing, and that's why I have, you know, I have my model now that I call Beth, and because I hate saying the word model. And so I created Beth, and I'm so much better at, you know, prospects and all that kind of stuff than most people are, especially like earlier on and all that kind of stuff. And especially than I was. And now I've actually gone to the other side where, like, I don't even care about drafting. I'm like, you know, whatever. Like, I'll draft whoever, whenever, however, it doesn't matter. But then I'm going to beat you in the rookie drafts. You know, like, I'm going to beat you in that. And so, like, I've gone the complete opposite side where it was always just like, I'm going to beat you in the startup draft. I'm going to beat you in the redraft. Now I'm like, no, I don't care about that. Like, I'll still do that. But now I'm going to beat you in the rookie draft, and I'm going to know these prospects. I'm going to know who these players are. I'm going to get the steals in the third, fourth, fifth rounds, like that kind of thing. And so that's what's really changed and evolved for me, and it's worked out great. But like that probably doesn't answer a lot of questions. But like, I think for me, I focus more on actual players, like what are these players going to be, and you know, like who do I think these players are going to be, like. I think Garrett Wilson is going to be really good. You know, I don't think that Dameon Pierce is going to be very good. You know, like that kind of thing. And so like I make those determinations before rookie drafts, and then I just go all in on these players. And you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but it works out a lot more often than it used to, at the very least.
Okay, and Scott, for you, he asks, what have been the biggest shifts in your portfolio rostership? And I don't know what time frame he's talking about there, but however you want to answer that question.
He told me for this, basically since the season ended, is the clarification there. Yeah, so from an overall percentage, quarterbacks and running backs are down, receivers and tight ends are up, and I mean, that kind of fits generally what I've been talking about over the past, you know, year and a half, 2 years, with the shift to building through tight end that I've been doing. But just looking at just to run through a quick list of players, these are players that I've moved more than two shares. Cause I mean, at any given time, you know, anybody could be included in a trade. So I figured it has to be three or more to be a trend. So that I've added since the season ended, Herbert and Badgett, running back Najee, receiver Trey Palmer, Yoshivas, Charlie Jones, Renfro, Tolbert, Tyler Scott, Garrett Wilson. So obviously some of those guys are, you know, traded for Wilson, and a lot of those guys where I picked up off waivers. And then some leagues I had to get get my rosters in order. Like we had the clear IR and stuff like that, so I had to drop players, and so I'm typically dropping a lot of backup quarterbacks. I guess I didn't know that until I looked this up, but that's what I do. So the players I've moved the most, or lost I guess the most, is like Clayton Toon, DTR, Huntley, Bridgewater, Beathard, Jaren Hall, just guys like that. Isaiah Spiller, Ty Chandler, and Josh Palmer are my three most traded away players. Probably just has to do with having so many shares and updating my auto trade blocks, where I'm just like, take this guy for a fourth, or, you know, in Palmer's case, take this guy for a third. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, it was great to get a third for Palmer. Now, maybe not, but I'll take the roster spot. It's all right.
Can we just say real quick though, like, you know, I was saying how, like, I feel like I've gotten so much better about the prospect analysis and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like one of the things that I truly benefit from is not going in on those eighth string quarterbacks that everyone's like, oh, but he's behind Kyler Murray, you got to draft Clayton Toon, you got to draft him in every third round, and then you waste your third round picks. And like, that's kind of my jam now. Like, I'm like, no, like, you do not draft these guys, and you know, like, there's the chances of them hitting are so slim that it's not even remotely worth it. Like, you're better off getting one of those like tight ends or running backs or whatever that like actually has a chance of seeing the field at some point. Clayton Toon, with all the hype that he got, it was just like, no, this is never going to happen. Like, look at the stats, look at the numbers. He's never going to be an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and you can pick up the backup quarterbacks later. You know, there'll be,
of course,
look at all the guys getting dropped. Like Tyson Badgett's one of my most added guys because people were dropping him, and it's like, well, he's going to be the backup. So, or there's a good chance he will be. Tyrod Taylor, another one, you know, available in like half my leagues. Great. He's behind Rodgers. Perfect. I'll pick him up later. I don't need to pick him up now. But you can always find guys to, if you want to add those backups, or if you wanted to be one snap away from having a starter. you know, you don't have to do it now, but the advantage is that they're free. So I'll take that over having to trade for them.
Okay, and we'll go on to our next question from at Jesse Schott, who's in one of our junkies leagues that, that me and Scott are in. What is the value of Kyle Pitts in 1.75 or greater tight end premium? I can tell you in TA3, it's greater than the 109 because I threw that out today. I'm trying to make a trade for the show. And it, also, they recently talked about it, I think, on one of Russ's many other podcasts, Dynasty Wall Street. He was one of the players they brought up. And I think they kind of settled on it. They would definitely do it for the 108. And we're not sure about the 107. I think they were divided on the 107. John Bosch obviously was doing it for the 107, but I think some of the others weren't. But what do you guys think, John? What do you, where you at? Obviously, I think we're all higher on Pitts than we were a couple weeks ago with a real quarterback. But what do you think his value is at this point?
Too high. You know, unfortunately, like unfortunately, he's not the best player on his team at all. Like he's not the best wide receiver, Drake London. He's not the best receiving back beyond that, Bijan Robinson. You know, like it's just like, at what point is he going to be a high end target earner? And I don't see it happening. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm not saying he can't get his athleticism back because he's been pretty bad like athletically, but there's been reasons for it with the knee injury and all that kind of stuff. So like, I'm not saying he can't get all of that back, but the 1,000-yard season that people will turn to was when they had no one. Like they drafted another top end player after that. And then they drafted another top end player after that, you know, and it's just like, okay, in two, you know, consecutive seasons, he's not the only guy there, and he's definitely not the best receiving option. I would say he's probably the third receiving option on that team, as much as people want to think that he's just the greatest thing that ever happened in the history of the world. So I would say his value is too high. Yeah, the 109, especially in a 1.75 premium, 108, I'm not terribly against. But I feel like most people would actually need more than that if they're actually selling him, you know, like, and so I would say his value is too high, but I don't mind those prices.
Scott.
Okay, Jesse, well, you asked what's his value, and his value is 23.2 on DynastyTradeCalculator.com. No, hey, what's up, Jesse? Appreciate the question, man. Going to back to DTC, his value is basically identical with the 107, which I think makes a lot of sense. So I pulled up DLF's rankings and Keep Trade Cut rankings, and he's four. He's tight end four on both of them. So I'm going to ask you guys, going along with the 107 there and what we were talking about earlier, Bowers or Pitts? Rocky, Bowers or Pitts?
Can you give me a landing spot?
pick a good right. one. Pick your favorite one. Good quarterback.
With a good landing spot, I think I that's go what Bowers. Pitts is,
right? Okay. Yeah. All right, John, Bowers or Pitts?
I think you got to go Bowers, the unknown, the generational prospect and everything. It's Kyle Pitts, but you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever right. it was.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And then any of these, I'll just, to make it quick, any of these guys, I would have Laporta, McBride, and Andrews over him personally, but maybe if any of you guys would change that. How about Hockenson or Kincaid or Njoku? I guess we'll throw him in there. Hockenson, Kincaid, and Njoku. Are you taking Pitts over any of those guys?
Take him over Hockenson just because of the injury and the lack of a quarterback right now. You know, I think we're all assuming that they're going to have JJ McCarthy or some kind of rookie quarterback at this point. And so, you know, like, or Sam Darnold, you know, like I could push Pitts over Hockenson. I'm okay with that. I really can't push him over the other two guys. Like I really feel like you have to have him. What is that? Tight end seven.
Yeah, 7 or 8, yeah.
I would have had Hockenson over him easy if Hockenson had a quarterback. But yeah, he stole Hockenson's quarterback. So so yeah, I think he's got to be over Hock at this point. And who were the other two guys?
Kincaid and Njoku.
Oof.
So, you know, youth and upside quarterback that, and then guy with a quarterback, but older.
They flashed at the end of the year too. Right. Both of them.
Yeah, I'm not as big on Kincaid as some people. I think they're kind of all in a tier to me, those guys. I would Pitts, Njoku, Kincaid. I think I might want to go for the upside of Pitts over those guys. I know you guys are different there, but yeah. I know it's not been great in the last couple of years, but with the Arthur Smith gone, with Kirk Cousins, the new offense, I know he's got competition, but I think we can also expect a lot higher volume than he's had in the past. So I'll take the shot over those guys.
I just want to say that Pitts is actually a year younger than Kincaid still, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And then what else was I going to say? Hockenson is only 26 as well. So I think he still has some time ahead. But even if this year he takes a dip, it might be a good buying opportunity. At least, you know, for me and Rocky, we'll still be.
I just looked at my ranks just to make sure I wasn't talking out of my butt. And I actually do have Pitts over Hockenson as of right now.
Okay.
Things change with the quarterbacks and all that kind of stuff, I can definitely see that changing. But I do have Kincaid and, you know, Andrews and McBride and all those players ahead of them. So, you know, I think kind of what you said, like the 107, 108, something around there is like proper value, especially in a 1.75 premium. But I also feel like, you know, people are just begging at this point. It's just like, you know, you can almost get that re-roll and just not even care at this point.
Yeah, I did trade it. I can't remember if it was Rocky on this show or it might have been on Junkies when I said Andrews was still my tight end one. And so then what happens after that episode comes out?
Tons of Andrews offers.
Yeah. And so I actually just traded Pitts for Andrews like a week before the Kirk Cousins nice. News. But yeah, a little bit on there. But I'll take it. I'll take Andrews.
Okay, and our last question comes from our loyal fan, Frank. The news guy, he says, I guess my question would be when news like the Hollywood news, of course, it's a news question. Hollywood news happens. What do you do? Do you immediately sell for the highest return, assuming that is the highest his value will be? And I didn't throw this on the sheet, but he just mentions like, I'd like to get an expert perspective. So I don't know who that question was for. Yeah. that's what he put in the question there. I will say myself, I generally am far too lazy to do this, much like Russ. So I don't immediately go out and do anything. What about you, Scott?
You know, I think it becomes a player take, right? So if I get an offer, if somebody's willing to say, hey, this move makes sense, I'm willing to pay this, you know, and we'll call it a, you know, the 203 or whatever, a mid second, early second. If, like we talked about earlier, for this specific player, I'm probably just going to take it and re-roll. But am I going to actually go out and try to capitalize on it this time of year? Probably not. I don't find, you know, a lot of my leagues are a little lacking in the activity right now. So, and then we all have the same news. So then it just comes down to the player take. And so if somebody likes him more than me, I'll do the trade. But otherwise, I'm not going to actually go out and actively try to make it happen.
And that's the thing, too, I think, that you mentioned. That a lot of the leagues we're in, too, I feel like you said, everyone's up on the news. Everyone knows, oh, well, Hollywood is now a sell high, and no one's going to pay for that. So I think that's part of a problem, too. But, John, what are your thoughts on this question?
I mean, honestly, like in my leagues with all my friends and everything, we always do the jokingly, like we're putting him on the trade block as soon as news happens. You know, yeah, of course. But it's literally a joke more than anything else. I almost do the complete opposite, especially in leagues that I'm not in with my friends. I do the opposite where it's just like, okay, Hollywood went to a team that everyone loves, you know, like everyone coveted that landing spot. I'm not putting him on the trade block. Like, I'm holding him and I'm waiting for someone to actually show me that they want him, they desire him, like that kind of thing. Because A, it was not a bad landing spot. Like, so like, this is not a bad thing. You know, like, I can hold him and I can be perfectly fine with it. Or somebody can offer me more than I care, you know, care about, and I can actually take it, you know, take the trade and be fine with it. So that's basically what I do. I'm not saying that I've never put a player on the trade block when he gets traded or doesn't, whatever. Like, I can almost guarantee you, actually, I'm 99% sure that, that as soon as Desmond Ridder, I've won Desmond Ridder share. As soon as Desmond Ridder went to the Cardinals, you know, I put him on the trade block and, you know, like stuff like that. Like, so I do that stuff all the time, but it's usually like, you know, lower level players that don't really matter. But like for a player like Hollywood that actually could matter, I feel like I kind of like hold back a little bit.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. I want to thank, as always, I want to thank Scott for coming on here to host with me. And I want to thank John for coming on. And John, I want to give you a chance again to remind everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Absolutely. So you can find me at Dynasty Coach A on Twitter. You can find me on DynastyLeagueFootball.com, DLF.com, writing articles about a bunch of stuff. I do a lot of, rookie profiles, Devy profiles, C2C profile, like all that kind of stuff. I focus on the college level at this point, just because, like I said, it's evolved over time. And, you know, like that's what kind of what I've become, is the college guy, even though I never would have expected that to happen, but that's who I am. Because of that, I host the Devy Devotional podcast, and I also host the Full Tilt Devy podcast. So you can find me on those usually every other week, if not every week. I don't know. We kind of go crazy with the times, but, you know, we do our best. So you can find me there. And, I'm always willing to talk, Fantasy, Dynasty, Devy, whatever.
Okay. And for us here, I'm at Dynasty FF Addict. Scott's at Scott_Sidlow. Make sure you are following us, following the DAP Network on Twitter and on YouTube. Give a rate and review of the pod. We always love that. Helps people find us. And if you want to see our lovely faces while we're recording, as well as getting our Discord chat, you can support us through the Patreon. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can be in the chat like Herms was with us tonight. And as always, just a reminder to support Fantasy Cares. I know, things are cranking up with Scott Fishbowl, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot going on that Russ will be putting out there, a whole bunch of shirts and different things that all, where the proceeds will go to Fantasy Cares. So make sure you're always supporting that. Herms is very upset there was no Blues Traveler talk tonight, so I at least got the mention in, Herms. If you sign up for the Patreon, you can come in here and talk Blues Traveler with Herms. But I think that's gonna do it for tonight. Again, thanks to these two, thanks to Herms, thanks to everybody else who's been watching, and good night, guys.
Good night, Rocky.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.